Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now as we strut our stuff across the stage as if it were life and come and go, speaking of Michelangelo, as do players upon the play and stage, henceforth that we shall catch the king. Theater. Oh, yes, I want you to join me now for some theater. Oh, I'm so excited, my friends. I have discovered theater. Well, I didn't really discover it. I just rediscovered it. Like, you know, things that are lost that people rediscover, like the art of conversation or Shakespeare plays or things like that. Civility, well, that hasn't been rediscovered yet. Bless your hearts. Oh, so, you know, when I learn about something or get enthusiastic, it's very difficult for me to not share it. So if I have something, I want to give it to you. Not like a, like much like a disease, but a benevolent disease, one that you will then gain some sort of immunity to what? Oh, life's troubles, I hope. And theater does that. So I've looked into, I've done a little bit of research, and by a little bit, I mean barely. But I have figured this out. So, theater, it has a beginning. We didn't always have theater because there wasn't always stages because we didn't always have stage workers unions and everything like that. So it was all chaos. It was tohu and bohu before there was actual theaters. And there were theaters before they were there was actual theater. We just had stages. So what are we going to do with these stages? I don't know. We've been sleeping on them. People would live on them. And finally, they say, hey, we're living our lives in such a phony way. Let's just invite somebody to watch it. Maybe they'll be entertained. The very first theater was something called dinner theater. And this was invented by Burt Reynolds on the planet Jupiter. And people would have their dinner there, and they go, what's this over there on the stage where people normally are just living up there? What are they doing? Go, that's Charles Nelson Reilly. And he's acting something out. And sometimes people would throw tomatoes, not big tomatoes, though, but cherry tomatoes, and not on purpose. It's just that you should never bite into a cherry tomato. It's meant to be eaten in one bite. If you try to take a bite out of it, it will shoot out like that into Charles Nelson Reilly's eye. And this is where we get the expression, don't do that, or something. I don't really know. Again, my research is sketchy. And I don't remember everything because my enthusiasm gets away from me. I just want to say, oh, I got to remember to tell. I'm so trying so hard to remember that I forget the facts. So I'll just try to give people the feeling. And that's more important anyway. And I think that's a little bit like theater anyway, isn't it? It's not real life. It's just sort of a reflection of real life. And the best theater would just be a large mirror. And then just the audience would just watch themselves. And then at the end, someone would come crashing through the mirror and the fragments would shoot out and impale people and there'd be blood and screaming and say, that's life. But the second stage, so people looked at that and say, you know, this is very dangerous, this dinner theater. First of all, a lot of elderly men choking during important scenes and everything. It used to be cell phones. It is now, rather. But it used to be, you know, people, I got a chicken bone. Or a tab of a cola. The tabs used to come off the cans, and people would somehow would swallow them. It's so funny what people put in their mouths and everything. Say, oh, I used to keep my keys in my mouth, but you choke on them enough, and there has to be public service announcements telling people, don't do that. Don't put foreign objects. Still to this day, you'll see it written on, don't shove this down a baby's throat. Really? That needs to be said? Yes, everything needs to be said. Nothing can be assumed because who knows? People are very inventive and creative and they find all sorts of different ways of choking children. So this theater gave way to something else. The second play ever was something called Ubu Wah by Alfred Jerry. And when this debuted, it was very controversial and it caused a riot because it sucked. And everybody's like, oh, this is sucks, terrible. Is this what theater has come to? And so eventually people thought, do we even need actors, really? And so they invented something called guignol, or puppet theater. And I have, well, I would like to demonstrate that right now. I have a puppet with me. I have a hand puppet, and it's in the shape of the Spanish Infanta from the Velázquez painting. Hola. Hello, Spanish Infanta. How are you doing today? Okay. That's it. It goes on like that for a long time. But puppets on the radio, oh, that's not anything new. As you know, Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen, and you may know him as the father of Murphy Brown Bergen, who, and he used her as a puppet, too. It was very embarrassing. She wrote about it in her book. Said, my father would sit me on his lap, and on the other lap, he'd have Charlie McCarthy, and he'd say, I like the puppet better. What are you going to do about it? She said, I don't know. Overcompensate, maybe, or something. But he would go on the radio and say, now I'm Charlie McCarthy. Now I'm Edgar Bergen. Now I'm Charlie McCarthy. Like that. Now ventriloquists insist on doing it live, and that's unfortunate, because there's a lot of curse words you can't say live, because we can't make an M or an F, so that just rules out my act is over. I don't know why they need to do that anyway. Why puppet? I think people who speak through puppets are, you know, don't want to really take, responsibility for the things they're thinking. Oh, the puppet said it. And then people believe that. So, oh, I guess it did. That's just the puppet. He'd never say that. Bless your hearts. This is the case in art a lot of times. Say, oh, he's just saying. That's a great expression. He's just saying, or he's just puppeteering. Or he's just play acting. That's another one. To play dead. People do that. There's things in nature. A lot of animals will, like your hognose snake. Say, oh, I'm dead, and then it'll let out a smell, too. Say, oh, I think that does smell dead. You say, see, I'm dead. Then why are you talking? This is the serpent made that mistake in the garden. So I'm just a dead serpent, Eve. I said, well, why are you speaking? It was just a hand puppet. It was the Lord working a hand snake hand puppet. Or maybe it could have been a rod puppet. I learned a lot of that from Sesame Street. Sesame Street has all different types of puppets, Gordon being the most complicated one. Oh, it took three or four people to operate. It was Japanese men in those black suits. And it took three or four or something. To become a master puppeteer takes years and years of training. That's why it's so sad that anybody would do that. Well, eventually, theater moved on. And it said, well, I guess we have to have actors, but let's make them children. And it would be fun to have exaggerated old people lines on their face and everything. I'm an old person. I love that. I like going to children's theater where they have to be an old person because they're always hunched over like that. Where they can't say, all old people don't have osteoporosis. Good Lord. Look at all the actors now in their 50s. Like Brad Pitt and Johnny Depp and everything. Now, they're in their 50s. I used to think that was old. And it is to me. I've not aged well, and I'm not healthy. But for some who can afford very good health care and cosmetic surgery and everything like that and super good drugs, they look better, don't they? And they're acting. They're acting young, I guess. I can't really do that. I got to just be myself, and I've been sort of old since I was a child, when I played an old person in a play. The first play I was in high school, I could have been younger than that, was, I was in a children's theater company when I was 12, and there's about five of us, and the director says, we're going to do Catcher in the Rye. And I was like, oh, I don't know, that's a little sophisticated, but I got to smoke a cigarette at 9. And I really enjoyed that. Oh, that's the only thing I really got out of it. And then in high school, I was in Monkey's Paw or something, and I played the old man who goes, here's a monkey's paw, like that or something. I think that was the only thing I did. But I enjoyed the makeup part. Oh, and people love putting on costumes but not memorizing lines. That's why they have cosplay now. It's plays for people who have no memory left or something. So I'm not going to act anything out. I'm just going to be the person. I think you should have to be in a play. I'm not begrudging anybody. You can dress up all you want like Admiral Lord Nelson. Is it Lord Admiral Nelson or Admiral Lord Nelson from Star Trek? But you should say some lines or something. It's hard to memorize them. I've memorized a couple things from Shakespeare, but I can't remember them. But I did know them. Oh, no, past memory doesn't count. You got to be, I always say that, oh, I used to be in good physical shape. Here's some pictures, because that doesn't count. Because now if I was to make love to you or something, you know, I'd make love to the picture, not you. You look horrible now. I'm sorry. I didn't take care of myself. Super love sausage. And anything fatty like that. I wish I could be healthier. And maybe I should go see a play about it. Maybe the children will put one on and say, look at the old people who ate meat. And that's the name of a play that I've written. No, I didn't write that. That's not mine. Oh, bless your hearts. So theater changed a lot when radio and TV came along. So radio tried it for a while. So we're going to do theater on the radio. Radio theater of the mind. Unfortunately, most people's minds lack good props and scenery. And so I'm closing my eyes and I'm picturing a guy standing in a studio waving a sheet of metal. That's Foley. No, it's thunder. Well, yes, it's both. Isn't that interesting? So we had that kind of thing going on. Radio theater. People would listen to plays on the radio and they thought it was real. Orson Welles got on there and said, you know, Gallo wine, I don't forget. And he fooled everybody and say, oh, I thought there was really frozen peas and Gallo wine and stuff coming at me in New Jersey. No. This took place on Mercury. So remember, the first play was on Jupiter. Then we moved to Mercury. So, oh, yes. All the planets conspire to make us do theater. And so then when TV came along and say, now that we got pictures and everything, we should do plays on the television. So when television started, there was a lot of nonsense on there. Say, oh, look at Milton Berle's got lipstick on, and tee-hee-hee. And a lot of people, more thoughtful people said, well, you know, I think we're really underestimating the sophistication of the American viewing public. People like Rod Serling said, we need to have more sophisticated plays on the TV. And so a lot of famous playwrights wrote for TV. Now, he was wrong. They were not underestimating, and that didn't last long. They went, oh, boring, more Uncle Milty with lipstick and worse. So then they shift the plays to Sherwood Schwartz said, we could disguise theater in nonsense. And so, you know, occasionally in Gilligan's Island, they would stage the musical version of Hamlet, which to this day is actually better known than the original Hamlet. Did you know that? If you ask a child my age, and I say a child my age because people my age are infantile. Isn't that funny how we never grew up? I blame advertising. It said, hey, you can get, are you hungry? You need food, darn it. Any discomfort was seen as an injustice. And so a lot of people my age and younger feel like if they got a little ache or pain or if somebody hurts their feelings, this is a cosmic injustice that must be remedied by the destruction of their enemies. Oh, I'm so sorry that happened. I apologize to everybody, my descendants and my ancestors. Whoops. I don't blame myself. That's my favorite line from Chinatown. I use it all the time. I don't blame. I'm so self-forgiving because my discomfort is we can't have that. So these plays went on the TV, and Sherwood Schwartz, famous impresario, he gave us modern theater. And now to this day, we have that. And also, somebody at some point said, he might have been him with the music. Let's have musicals. Let's take the best of opera and the best of theater and the best of ballet and throw it away. And everything that's left we'll have musical theater. So, oh, that's interesting. And then the common man can like it. Yes, a lot of high art. They call it high art because, boy, if you're not, you don't get it. is really appeals to the common man. And by common man, I mean stupid. And not always say most people are stupid. Hardy? No, I only speak for myself. But I assume that I know that I'm like everybody else. And it scares me how stupid I am. And to think that everybody is like that is a bit frightening. But no one's really proved me wrong yet. Occasionally I will see glimpses of genius in others. And I think, there's an epidemic of savantry. Is that a word? It is now. Everything's a word. Because you know why? If you point out that I've made a mistake, I'm going to attack you. That's how I do it. I think that's how things come to be made law, is just, you just attack the opponent. And the winner is the winner. That's why they say history is written by the winner. Except a lot of times the winner can't write. And so it's written by the winner's smarter brother. This is all through the Bible, has that story. Dumb guy didn't get to write it. I would love they ought to do what they did with Wicked and have the Bible like written by, you know, Esau or Ishmael or something.
Well, I'd like to have a say for a minute. First of all, my arms are not that hairy.
The book of Esau.
Also, my father, like hell, he's blind, is pretending to be blind.
All right, let's get Esau. You got to work that out, buddy. A lot of people have not read the Bible because, half of it's in Hebrew and the other half is in Greek. And I know there's translations, but gosh darn it, a lot of times, I think Beckett translated it. It's not, you know, it doesn't speak to us like some books do. What's the most popular book in the world? Well, I heard the Bible is, but it's so funny nobody's read it. Isn't that interesting? Not like some of these modern novels that everybody's read. And I haven't read a lot of the modern ones because I'm still reading a lot of the old ones because they're free, which I found out. I got very excited. It's free books. So back to theater, because again, I think I'm a theater person. I'm not so sure. The thing I like about theater is the yelling. You know, on the stage, you have to I'm here, sitting on a park bench. Kind of, you gotta scream it so that people in the back can hear. Can't hear, speak up, they'll yell. A lot of times in Shakespeare's time, they were interactive. And they go, speak ye up, like that. They spoke an archaic form of English called English. I had a substitute teacher one time says, Shakespeare is difficult to understand because it's in Old English. And I said, I don't know, I've made up something. I said, no, that's Old English, which it was, it wasn't. And then I said, Middle English is, you know, one not April with a shower suit, like that. And she said, I don't know what you're saying, but go to the principal's office. And I said, it's spelled principal. Oh, I was not popular. And, but a lot of things that if the language is difficult, people stay away from it. Same with theater and everything. I noticed that a lot of theater that's in other languages, everything, like Greek theater. Now, that's been around a long, long time. And Greek theater had things like choruses and everything. People pop out of nowhere. And I believe they also had masks, which is good. Because if you're an actor, you should be ashamed. And you should somehow cover your face. Also, I can't see you back here. So you should have a giant head with the expression clearly visible in the back row. And then you should be saying things like, I am now happy. I am now sad. Come with me to this dinner table. Also, you should say what the prop is supposed to be, because I can't see it. I'm holding a small fork. Otherwise, and especially on radio, oh my goodness, you know, try fork sound effect. It's frustrating. Everything has to be very broad on the radio. So theater comes in many. Oh, I forgot street theater, the best kind of theater. And they don't do it now. Mainly it's done on the sidewalk, which I think is cheating. But originally it should be done in heavy, heavy traffic. And that way is very much more dramatic, believe me. If you see Hamlet bouncing off a windshield or something like that. A lot of times, though, it's political. So, oh, look at me, I'm Obama, I'm George Bush or something. ha ha. And of course, all the finer points of political dialogue can be taken care of that by pretending to stick something in the butt of the president.
And say, I see what he's saying. I too feel likewise that we are going the wrong direction philosophically. So put things in his bottom.
And that's okay. That's been going on for a long time, mocking. You did that in Europe a lot. They would mock. I remember they mocked Mussolini. Say, hey, they cut off his head and put it on a pole, hung him upside down and peed on him. And he's like, I get it. The train's running on time is not enough, is it? If you haven't seen him in much theater, Hitler is in there. He's become a stock character. A lot of the old plays had stock characters. A lot of, like, in pantomime or something. You say, oh, you've got the little boy character, and you have the Scaramouche character, and Hitler, and you see what I'm saying? So I don't know if there's a lot of traditional pantomime. And by pantomime, I don't mean mime, which I'm doing now. Why are you making a little popping noise? Because my hands are hitting glass. Like that. And you can't see it. So I may not be. I swear to God I'm doing it, though. I'm moving things around and everything. I never lie to you like that. What's the point? I feel like you can almost hear me moving. And you come here for theater, don't you? Say, create a picture in my mind, Hardy, with words. And I say, it'd be easier with paint, but I'll try with words. Okay, first, blue. Everything blue. Do it all blue. Now, the lower half, do all green. Make it all green. Is that not enough? I don't think we'd need to do it in stages like that. I could just say, picture a green pasture, a blue sky. And what's going on in it? Oh, you're not looking carefully enough. Let's go down to the microscopic level. And look at that. There's a cicada killer wasp. And it's eating a cicada. What kind of play is that? That's just nature doing its thing. Those are stock characters in nature. Killer insect, parasitic insect, things like that. And when we bring it to the human level, we have stock characters like superheroes. You'll see those in a lot of movies. Ineffectual dad. You'll see that. Tormented middle-aged woman. Young lovers. I haven't gone to many movies recently, so I don't know exactly what's popular. I know the superheroes still are. That's got to tell you something. I'm not saying that we're all children, but oh my goodness. You guys, I feel so frustrated in my own life. I wish I could fly and shoot lasers out of my hands. All right, that's probably the problem. You're probably hoping for something like that instead of understanding how to actually deal with situations. You cannot deal with things by just annihilating them. You don't have superpowers. Nobody does. But yet, I guess we're not being taught how to be ordinary. That doesn't sell soap.
Sell soap?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm old. That used to be what everybody was concerned about selling. That's what I call soap operas and everything. So your entertainment was revolved around soap. That's where we get the soap operas. Now, those are amazing. A play that never ends. That's why soap operas are the best of all theater, because they just don't end. They're just perpetual. It's amazing. It goes on and on. You see the characters age. They go on for years. Could you imagine a play that takes place every single day and that goes on for decades? That's just, to me, is exquisite. That's much better than go and see, lend me a tenor or something like that. I'd much rather see it play out over time, even if the drama is silly and everything. Oh, it's incredible. Didn't somebody just make a movie like that where it's... Yeah, that's why I don't say watch a soap opera, man. People have been doing that for years. Make a movie with the characters. They said, Susan Damlucci. Holy cow. You know, your movie, what, a couple hours long? Look at this one's thousands of hours long. And just as interesting, I think. I love to see people just going about their lives, getting amnesia, waking up, marrying former
carnival workers or something like that. What am I thinking of? I think it's still All My Children is in it, is in my mind. Phoebe! Oh, that was a good one. I haven't really watched much Theater Thin. That's why I say I rediscovered it. Because it was out of my life for a while, theater. And then it came back in, roaring back in, like an ex or something. Oh, I thought you're out of my life till I saw you on Facebook, theater. How you doing?
Fine, I'm big and fat.
Awesome. I've seen you've gained some weight and you've become bloated.
Yes, you can no longer afford my tickets.
That's the way Broadway is. Broadway, oh, that's very special rich people theater. Not for us ordinary folks. Sometimes we go on vacation, we're going to save up. Because the tickets as much as the plane fare. But, oh, it's going to be good. And then you see some fella that you see in a movie for $8. Just, you know, do it. Except this time he pauses and goes, Is that a cell phone? Which does not happen in the movie. He stays in character. So I don't know about this. People say, oh, it's preferable to seeing, you know. I once went and saw a play in New York, and it was in a living room, and I was the only audience member, and it was just Wallace Shawn, and he's just brushing his teeth. And he's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, well, I thought this is just really exclusive, small, intimate theater. And he said, no, leave. And but I'll never forget that. It was powerful. Powerful experience. What's the perfect size, then, theater experience? Huge would be. Now, how big is the biggest theater? That'd be interesting. With all the actors just looked like little ants. You had to use binoculars. And they did. They had something called opera glasses. You say, oh, it's so far away, I got to use binoculars to see. Look at that. I mean, it's like Yanni playing in the Acropolis or something. So I can't hardly see Yanni. And they go, well, it's all about the listening. I can't hear him either. Bless you. Right now, I cannot see or hear Yanni. So that's amazing. It's just like being there. But the biggest theater, what would that be like? I guess it'd be like standing on the moon and looking at the earth. See all those little tiny players going about their lives, and it just keeps going on and on like the ultimate soap opera. Who are you in the play of life? What stock character are you playing? Are you just delivering lines, or are you really feeling it? I don't know sometimes. We're all a character, aren't we? Life is like not so much a stage, but the back room. What do they call that? Not the green room, the blue one. And we sit in there, and we have deli and maybe some snacks or something. And that's what it's all about. And then the play part, I don't know. I can't extend the metaphor. It snapped. I've been extending it so much, it got brittle and it broke. But it is like we're all playing parts, isn't it? I wonder, where are you, your true self? When do you feel you can be your true self? Around whom? Not even around yourself sometimes. Can you be your true self? So I don't want to, even inside of my own head, Hardy, it's difficult for me to be myself. Let me tell you something. I got it all out in a play. I wrote a play. Yes, I know. I didn't really write it. I stole it and then wrote it from ancient Greece. I said, I will get my ideas from classic ancient Greek plays, the old comedies of Antitephesis and all them. I can't remember any of their names specifically. Antipathy, I think is one. Anyway, they would write these plays. They're kind of comedies and allegories for different things. And I said, I want to do that. I want to write a play like that that could convey some of my deepest emotions and thoughts. And then I will act it out with my friends. Now, you've met some of them because I've done sort of theater. I'm making quotes. Because it's not really. Nothing I do is professional. You realize that. Do not compare me to professionals. I'm a rank amateur. Rank means to smell or to have an odor. So, you know, I do my best. But it really is. I make no occasions. I'm no wordsmith. Let's put it that way. But I really like to express myself through art. So I just try things, but I don't, I try not to impose them on people because I don't want to confuse amateur and professional like that. Now, there are very good amateurs. I'm not one. I'm just a person who has a very highly inflated opinion of themselves. And I'm working on that. I'm working on self-bubble bursting. But I want to share this play with you. It's called The Earwigs. And I adapted it in English. I translated it from the Greek. I don't read any Greek, so it's not super accurate. But I did the best I could. And then I performed it, like I said, with some friends of mine. So I hope you enjoy this. I want you to sit back and relax. And if you want to have dinner theater, I know a lot of you eat dinner while you're listening to the show or prepare it. This would be a good chance, or at least add some forks against plate clicking. So without further ado, as they say in the theater, here is The Earwigs. Enjoy, please. Hello, friends. So good to see you. Glad you could be here. I'm doing a little work here today, guard duty. This is a job absolutely consistent with my skill set, which is sitting around and waiting, and then calling for help if anything happens. So basically, I stand here in front of this house, which is covered with a big old tarp, or tarpaulin, which I thought was a trampoline made of tar, which thank God it is not. It's just the full name of tarp, like tarmac is short for tarmac Adam.
What?
Not you, Adam.
Who are you talking to? You woke me up out of a good dream.
I was speaking to my radio friends.
I don't see anybody.
Well, you can't see them or hear them, but they can hear us.
Oh, like the gods.
No, no, they're just regular people who hear my voice through invisible waves.
Give me some.
Some what?
Wine. You've obviously got some.
I'm not drunk.
Well, I am, and I'd like to get back to my dream that you rudely woke me out of.
You're not supposed to sleep on the job.
Well, where am I supposed to sleep?
At home.
I have things to do at home. Here, there's nothing to do. But there was in my awesome dream, which I'd like to get back to.
What were you dreaming?
I was dreaming I was the captain of a ship, and my crew consisted of the Three Stooges, Paul Auster, and a monkey. And the monkey was the cook, and we were just working out this week's menu when you woke me with your hallucinating.
I wasn't hallucinating. You can't sleep. We're supposed to be on guard duty.
What are we even guarding anyway? A house with a big tent on it.
Yeah, I don't know. But if we see anything unusual, we're supposed to holler.
Hey!
Why are you hollering?
I see something unusual.
What?
A house with a big tent on it.
No, I mean if anything goes in or out of the house or something happens.
Why?
I don't know. That's our job.
Seems dumb. But hey, I need the sleep.
You're not going back to sleep.
Monkey menus don't write themselves, friend.
Just stay awake. That's all I ask.
All right. Don't you ever dream?
Sure I do, but at the appropriate time.
Which is when?
Well, when no one is depending on me.
That's the time to be least imaginative? When we're working for others? I, on the other hand, like to keep my imagination active so I can better solve problems. Like when Moe and Paul Auster started to argue about Brooklyn gentrification and the best sea route to the Azores, I was like, hey, you two need to be more like Cookie the Monkey. That's what we call the ship's cook, Cookie.
What do you call the first mate, Matey?
Yep.
Then what do you call the second mate?
Larry.
Well, what do you call the coxswain? Curly?
No, Cocky, because he is. I bet your dreams are boring.
No, they're not. I'll have you know they're very imaginative.
For instance?
Well, just the other night I dreamed I was flying.
Where were you flying?
Just around.
Boring.
It was not boring.
Were there any celebrities who, using time travel, created a ladder to heaven constructed of the great poets of the past and from which descended a golden-winged goddess who made a feast of wine and goose and a choir of doves sang the sun into a fiery explosion which showered diamonds onto the lush forest of beautiful tree women?
No, I just flew over some houses and back down again.
Oh, to be in your head.
Well, you're not. So mind your business and get back to watching the house.
I wonder what's in there.
Golden celebrity tree women?
Very funny. Don't you wonder what's in there? I mean, how are we supposed to do a job without knowing what we're guarding?
The job isn't to know. It's to alert the boss if we see something.
Like what?
Something. We'll know it when we see it, I'm sure.
That looks like the type of tent they put over a house when they're fumigating it for termites.
I suppose.
Are we keeping something in or keeping something out?
Both.
That makes no sense. Like I say to my cat, in or out, you can't be both.
Cats can. It's scientifically proven.
What?
Don't you read? A cat can be in two states at once as long as no one notices.
I read about a cat who was in Kansas and found his way to Florida. That's more than two states.
Let's not talk for a while. Just guard the house.
Okay.
Okay, good. Friends, I'm sorry about this guy. You can't pick your coworkers.
First of all, I'm right here, man. Why are you being so hurtful? And also, who are you talking to?
The audience.
So you do have an imagination?
No, they're real.
Sure they are. They're just invisible and silent. I get it. Maybe I'm supposed to be guarding you. You're a nut.
I'm not a nut. I'm on radio. Well, you know what I mean. My voice is being turned into the same substance that makes light and transmitted to boxes so that strangers can hear me.
Strangers? I thought they were your friends.
Well, some. I mean, I want them to be friends. I take it on faith that they like me since they're listening to me. They wouldn't listen if they didn't like what they heard.
I'm listening to you, and I'm real. But you go ahead and make imaginary friends if it's comforting. I'm going to stand here and guard some unknown thing from doing some unknown action.
If this wasn't important, we wouldn't be hired to do it. The boss said it was critical we were vigilant, and at the first sign of trouble, we call for help.
But why are there two of us? Couldn't one person do the job?
Obviously not, with you asleep half the time.
So there are two of us in case one falls asleep?
I suppose.
Are you tired?
No.
Then I'll be the asleep one. Good night.
No, you are not leaving me alone. What if it's something dangerous?
Well, what am I supposed to do? I don't even know what it is. Dangerous? Then why don't we have weapons?
I suppose we call for other guards who do have weapons.
Then why not just have them guard the place?
You ask too many questions. This job is on a need-to-know basis. Obviously, there is someone who knows what needs to be done, and they'll handle it from there.
Right. Maybe your radio friends.
Leave them out of this.
Hi, radio friends. Please bring weapons to the big tent-covered house.
Don't be ridiculous. They can't bring us anything.
Can they hear me?
Yes.
Why can't they bring anything?
They don't know where we are.
So they can hear every word, but they don't know where we are.
Look, I think if you had fewer questions, you'd be better off.
I thought I saw something move.
Where? I don't see anything.
There, it moved again.
Where are you looking?
Right over there.
That's a fly.
So?
That's not it.
How do you know? They said if we see anything.
Yeah, but not a fly.
So you know what you're looking for?
No.
But you know what it isn't?
Well.
Well then, just list everything it isn't, and then we'll know what it is.
It doesn't work that way.
What you're saying is, you don't know the right answer, but you're absolutely sure what the wrong answers are.
Look, it's not a fly. A fly is not unusual.
In the winter? A fly in the winter? And alone? I'm blowing the horn.
No, no, don't.
I am.
What is it?
We saw something.
What did you say?
A fly.
A fly? You knucklehead, you got me over here for a fly?
Sorry, boss, I tried to tell him.
It was unusual, and it came out of the house, I think.
Listen, listen, you idiots. You just do your job and forget about flies.
So what am I looking for?
None of your business. You just stand here, and if there's anything important, then call me.
Sorry, boss, I tried to tell him.
Try harder, and no more false alarms from you two.
See?
Hey, at least I noticed the fly. You didn't even see it. You were too busy talking to your imaginary friends.
Oh, forget it.
You know what, though?
with that big tent on there, I bet they're trying to keep something in. Maybe they are fumigating.
Fumigating what?
Bugs, but not flies.
Why would we be guarding bugs?
Maybe they're killer bugs. Maybe they're giant bugs.
Giant bugs.
Maybe there's a giant bug in there that could destroy humanity.
We don't even know if we're keeping something in or keeping something out.
Well, then maybe the giant bug is out here, and inside is the last and best of humanity. That would account for why we're the closest. They put the skilled guys with the weapons in the back because we're expendable.
That's nonsense.
Then what's your theory?
I don't have a theory. I was hired to stand here and report if anything unusual happened, and that's what I'm going to do. You're creating a lot of trouble where there doesn't have to be any. Can't you just accept the conditions of the job instead of making up all these wild fantasies?
I guess because I'm an imaginative dreamer and not a robot.
I'm not a robot.
Also, I'm a poet.
You're a poet.
Yep.
Right.
How do you know I'm not? Can't imagine it? Again, a lack of imagination.
I can imagine just fine, but my imagination is limited by reality.
Then it's not really an imagination, is it?
If you're a poet, then recite a poem.
All right. I wish I were dreaming right now and not working. I wish I were back on my boat with a monkey and the Stooges and Paul Auster. I wish I were sailing to the Azores and eating cream chip beef on toast. But I'm not. I'm standing guard in front of a tent-covered house with a man who has no imagination.
That's not a poem.
The hell it ain't. How is that not a poem?
It doesn't rhyme. Not that it has to. I mean, it doesn't. It's not a poem.
Then what is?
Okay, here's one. I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me. They were delicious, so sweet and so cold.
That's a poem.
Yes.
And how do you know?
Because it was written by a famous poet.
And mine is not a poem.
No. You're not a poet. You're a guard, so guard.
So again, you are sure what is not a poem, but you can't be sure what is. You are sure what we aren't guarding, but you don't know what we are guarding.
Your thinking is idiotic. I know what a poem is.
How about this, then? Whose woods these are, I think I know. I know.
You're an idiot. You started with a line from a famous poem and then added something else. So no, not a poem.
How about this? So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens.
Well, that's a poem.
How about this? There is nothing worse than two men guarding a house they can't see against a threat they can't imagine.
That's not a poem.
Why?
Well, there's no imagery.
Okay. There's nothing worse than two old white men guarding a blue house against a red threat they can't see.
That's not a poem.
You're just so sure, aren't you?
You can't just add colors to something and have it be imagery. It needs to create a picture in the mind.
Like a monkey making cream chip beef on a sailing ship for writers and dead comedians?
No. You're perverting the idea. In your world, then, everything is a poem. That just isn't right. It has to contain more than is obvious at first glance. It has to use language like a paintbrush and create texture and meaning by crafting something evocative. It has to move or excite or point to something beyond itself. It has to contain something. You're just reciting your dreams, which you have no control over anyway.
An earwig.
What?
That's what's in the house.
An earwig.
Yeah, that's my new theory.
So we're guarding a house so a small insect doesn't get out.
Never said it was small.
So a giant earwig.
Yep.
There's a giant earwig in that house.
Yep. That's why there's a tent over it. They like dark places.
There are no giant earwigs.
Prove it!
You can't prove a negative.
You proved my poem didn't exist, even though there was much more evidence for it.
It existed. It just can't be called a poem.
Then call the giant earwig something else.
Like what?
Nancy.
I really fear for your sanity. If it's a giant earwig, why call it Nancy?
Exactly. Call it what it is. Giant earwig.
I have a headache now.
Listen, what better reason for guarding this house? How terrifying it would be if a giant earwig got loose. They have nasty poison pincers on their butts, and they're just generally repulsive.
I'm no longer listening.
A giant earwig would completely destroy the fabric of our civilization. It could actually shatter our whole reality. How could this be explained? People would begin to doubt everything. They would live in fear that there weren't more giant earwigs. They would question if there weren't giant insects everywhere, or maybe worse, talking, cooking monkeys.
Have you ever heard the expression to let your imagination get away from you?
No. It can get away from me? How would I live without it? I depend on it to come up with solutions.
There's a little thing called reality, friend. See that house there?
No.
Now you're being obtuse. This house we've been guarding.
I see a tent covering what I assume is a house.
Oh, come on. Clearly there's a house under there. It's shaped like a house.
Could be the earwig is just curled up into that shape of a house. There are rocks on Mars that look like faces. Are you saying there are faces on Mars?
There's such a thing as probability, my friend.
Don't call me friend. I'm not one of your imaginary people.
Okay, you idiot.
Better.
The chances of that being an earwig...
A giant earwig?
A giant any kind of bug is slim to none. The chance of it being a house is highly likely.
Why?
Look, there are other houses all around it.
What about my poem? There were poems all around that, but you said it wasn't one. It looks like a poem and sounds like one, and considering it's surrounded by other poems...
Okay, you're using false logic here, and I'm not going to go into details about why you're wrong, because I have no desire to convince you. You are hopeless. Believe what you want.
You don't mean that.
I do. Go ahead and believe anything you want.
I believe that you are a giant earwig, and I'm going to exterminate you.
Hold on. Whoa.
So you don't mean believe anything. You'd much prefer I believe you are a man and have worth and should live.
Of course, because that's true.
I bet he just wants to live and is misunderstood.
Who?
The earwig. I bet he just wants to be left alone. But because of his physical repulsiveness and his size, he's a target because he's feared.
Right.
You know what earwigs eat?
I have no idea. People?
Of course not. They eat decaying leaves. Does that sound dangerous to you?
So what are the pincers for?
Self-defense. There are guys behind us with weapons, right? What are they for?
I guess to combat whatever gets out or tries to get in that house. I guess I have no idea. Safety?
We just want to be safe, am I right?
Sure.
Uh-oh.
What now, another fly?
No, look, coming down the street. It's an angry mob.
Oh, they don't look happy, do they?
No, they look like an angry mob.
Well, we should blow the horn.
Why? They said blow it if there's anything unusual. An angry mob is not very unusual.
But they could be coming for us. We might be in danger.
Maybe we should wait and ask them first.
It might be too late then. Aren't you afraid?
I'm always afraid. So that's no gauge of anything. Here, I'm going to talk to them. Hey, y'all, what are you doing?
Let us by. We've come to burn down the house.
Why?
Why? Because there's danger here, and I'm not going to sit idly by while our whole way of life is threatened.
How do you know it's threatened?
Why else would you be guarding it if it weren't dangerous? We don't need this in our neighborhood. Tell us what's inside.
We don't know.
Oh, sure. You're guarding a house, but you don't know what's inside. You think I was born yesterday? You think I'm some kind of idiot? We're a lot smarter than you think. And we're on to your little game.
If I tell you what's in there, will you go away?
It depends.
Listen, y'all, we don't even know.
You might not, but I do.
Then what is it?
If it's not a threat, do you promise to go away?
Just tell us.
It's nothing. It's just a house with a tent over it.
That's crazy. Why guard an empty house?
Busy work. Just to keep us here. Arguing with each other. There's nothing in there. I swear to you on my life.
Prove it.
How can he prove it?
If there's nothing in there, go inside.
Hey, I'm not supposed to.
Then we'll burn it to the ground.
Wait. Okay. If I go in and come out again, do you promise to leave?
If you survive, yes. But if we hear your terrified screams and your bloody limbs are tossed out through the tent opening, then we burn it down with you in it.
Okay. Give me a minute. I'll be right out.
Hey, you can't go in there. The boss said if anyone tries to go in, blow the horn.
You really want the boss to yell at us again? Especially for letting an angry mob burn it down? Just let me go. I know what I'm doing, or not.
Hey, folks, just hang in there. Let's not be hasty. Give him a second.
He went inside.
See, everything is fine.
He's not out yet.
Okay, but...
Let's storm the place and burn it down.
Just give him a minute, will you? What's the rush? Oh, please come out. Oh, radio friends. I know I seem like a coward, but really, I don't want any trouble. I'm not the adventurous type. If a problem can be solved from a distance, I'm all for that. Maybe I shouldn't have let that idiot go in there. Maybe I should have blown the horn, but it's too late now. If I lose him, I won't be able to forgive myself. Maybe I was too hard on him. To be honest, I don't really know what makes a poem. I think I probably know very little. And frankly, he does have a better imagination than I do. Paul Auster, where does he get this stuff?
He hasn't come out. Storm the house.
Wait. Why burn it down? What if he just... What if that makes everything worse? What if there is something in there and you make it angry and it swears vengeance on you and your descendants? What if it lives on fire? What if fire will multiply it into 1,000 hideous monsters who consume your children like tiny sausages or peanuts?
My son's name is Peanut.
See? You don't want your rash actions to hurt little Peanut, right? Violence isn't always the answer. Right now, there's a tent on this house, and we don't have to see what's in there. Everything is fine and peaceful. Why gamble? Why start something? Everything was just fine with the two of us guarding the place. Sure, we had a disagreement about poetry, but it kept us from making it worse. Now, go home to your families. Go back to your jobs and your dreams. Go back to the warmth of your houses and your own poetry.
He's got a point, you know. Burn it down!
Wait, there he is.
Okay, nothing in there. Y'all can go home.
You're alive.
Of course I'm alive.
So there's nothing in there?
Nothing to worry about, just like I said.
So why are you two guarding it?
Probably to keep hotheads like you from burning it down for no reason. Now get out of here before I blow this horn and call the boss.
All right. Let's go, man. We can probably still get the deposit back on the torches.
You're alive.
Of course I'm alive.
So there's nothing in there?
Oh, there's something in there, all right.
What?
You don't want to know.
Why wouldn't I want to know?
You aren't the inquisitive type, I thought. I thought you said we should mind our business and do our jobs.
Sure, but that's before we knew for sure. Now you've been in there, so you know, so tell me.
Are you sure?
Yes, you've been in there, and so now you know, so you can tell me. What's in that house?
A giant earwig.
Oh, come on, for real, quit joking.
It's just like I said, it's a giant earwig.
Oh, forget it.
You were so sure I knew before I told you, but now that I tell you, you think I'm lying. You'd only believe me if I told you what you thought you already knew. You just want me to confirm your prejudice, not to tell you the truth.
So you're telling me with a straight face that there's a giant earwig in there?
Yes.
So why didn't it eat you?
Do you know how to listen? Do I look like a rotten leaf?
You're asking a lot of me.
I'm not forcing you to believe me. Why don't you go in?
Oh, you're kidding me.
Why not? You think there's nothing in there? Go in. I did it and I'm fine.
No way.
So you think there's a giant earwig in there?
No, of course not.
Then go in. Satisfy your curiosity.
Maybe I will.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Now I have to warn you, I might blow the horn.
Why?
It's my job. I'm not supposed to let anyone in.
But you went in and I didn't blow the horn.
I guess I'm just better at my job than you are.
Why don't you want me to go in?
It's not up to me, man. I have a boss and all. And frankly, I'm walking on thin ice here because sometimes I sleep on the job.
Oh, then forget it.
Fair enough.
This is ridiculous.
That it is. That's the first true thing you've said since we've been standing here.
Listen, Since you and I were stationed here, guarding a house, covered from sight, arguing over what is poetry and what is not, describing our dreams and holding angry mobs at bay, I've come to see that I may not know all I thought I did, but I also know that you are lost too, that you know no more than I, and the next line of guards farther back or further away, they don't know either. Monkeys and boats and sailing stooges, golden wings and staircases made of poets, flying in dreams or not, you and I are no different. And so I'm going to walk into that mysterious place because you did. I'm going to survive because you did. And you can blow that horn until you're blue, but I am my own person and so are you.
Now that's a poem!
You think so?
Oh, absolutely! That's beautiful!
It did sort of have a quality to it.
Oh, I think you should call it the giant earwig.
How about the earwigs? Because I think there's more than one.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm taking a bow.
Not really. I've got severe abdominal cramps. It just looks like I'm bowing. But thank you. Did you ever see a performance and they say thank you before you clap? And I always wonder, that's odd. I haven't done anything yet. What are you thanking me for? I might have hated it. So I always try to wait for people to clap before you say thank you. I think it's just compulsive sometimes to finish the song. And my love. Thank you.
Hey!
Thank you. Now, actual thank you. So, oh, I'm so glad that you sat through that, though. I know a lot of you were a little fidgety, and that's okay. Plays can be long. Oh, my goodness. I always, it's like taking a standardized test, immediately have to pee.
The minute the action starts, I think, oh, and I don't think you're supposed to leave. That's the other thing. I felt most of my plays that I've seen, my only memory is, oh, good Lord, I have to urinate. And that's because, you know, you stand in that lobby so much, drinking Gatorade or whatever they serve you at these things.
Oh, but I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you go out and you write your own theater. Everything I do, I hope to pass on to you. I want you to go out and do your own version. That's what I want. I would like to inspire you by saying, hey, if Hardy White can do it, I can do it. That's how I saw Titicut Follies, and I thought, I can put on a show because you can do it too. And it's not just about, I want you to go participate. You go in, run into that unknown house. It's for you to discover what's in there. Don't listen to me, you know. Pay attention to your own experience. I think that's, if there's a message, it's that. And also, I think, I'm special, right, is my other message. Oh, we're all needy. Even those ones who pretend they're not, I think they're the neediest. Anybody says, I think I'm wise, you know, it's like, oh, bless your heart. Did your daddy not love you? So I just want you to be content with yourself, love yourself, so then you won't bother me. I'm kidding. Oh, my friends. I want you to know, first of all, you're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope, 91.9 in blessed Rockland County, and WFMU.org online. And I'm so pleased that you have again lent me your ear and let me put on a little play inside your head. And I wish that I could stay around and clean up, but I have to go because there's an after party. So I apologize for that. All y'all who move the sets and do that, you are equally important. It's not as glamorous, I realize that, as us actors. But we also need you because we have no intention of doing it and we'd be sued or something if someone didn't do it. So bless you all and you get to be involved with it without having to have any talent. No, I have none. Bless you so much. I just kid. I'm so glad you joined me. I feel so lucky. And I hope that you join me again next week. Until then, friends, have a wonderful week. May you be healthy and happy and sound of mind and body.
Do you know somehow? my friends, you want to try that heart miracle. Try that heart miracle, Shella was telling you about. That heart miracle had that L-lysine in it, L-arginine in it. It has that proline in it. My friends, it has that vitamin C in it. You got to try it. Try that Vim and Vigor and Miracle 2000 together and watch how the weight comes off and how much you better you feel, how energized you feel through the day, how the blood pressure stays stable. My friends, you got to try these products.
Well, thank God.
Thank God he's a friend of mine. Thank God he's
a friend of mine.
He's been a mother. Been a mother in the time of need.
Been my father.
Been a father for me indeed.
Well, he'll hold me by my hand. You know I'll forever stand. I thank God.
Right here, the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast,